Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. There's a, I think, fairly famous saying that goes something like this: there is nothing constant except for change. And so that's true. When we look around the world about us, we see changes. The seasons change. We change. We get older. And we see generations come and go. A lot of change in the physical world, in the material creation. And there's a very important reason for this. God created mankind specifically out of matter for a very important reason. And to understand that, we have to think back to a long time ago when Lucifer rebelled against God's government and law of give. Of course, the angels were made before mankind, and Lucifer was given the opportunity to understand God's government, to learn about it, to learn about God's way of life, and then had a chance to administer God's government and rule on this earth with a third of the angels. But Lucifer chose the wrong way. He went the way of get instead of going God's way of give. And so God enacted his plan B, as we could call it. He created mankind, the first man, Adam, and his wife. And Adam was given the opportunity to choose to obey God and reject Satan. Adam and Eve were given instruction in God's law and God's government as well. And then they had to make a choice. Would they live the way of give, God's way of life, or would they live the way of get, Satan's way of life? And of course, they had to choose between two trees that represent those ways of life. And so God had to create mankind, matter, to fulfill his purpose for them, as we'll see. It was necessary that man be made mortal and not of spirit. That's why Adam wasn't made out of the spirit. He was made out of matter, and all of mankind has been made out of matter since. It's because God needs mankind to be able to change. The Correspondence Course says that God's master plan for accomplishing his purpose in the human race required that man be made first of matter, so that if he was led into Satan's way of get, he could be changed and converted to God's way of love. Or if he refused to change, repent from sinning, his life would be blotted out without further or continuous suffering, just as if it had never been. And so the ability to change is an awesome, awesome ability. The choice we all face today is, are we willing to change to become more like God, or do we refuse to change? And we all have to grow and change. Humans have to change and grow because, again, we're not perfect, but we're told to become perfect like God is, and that requires change. All people have sinned, and so there had to be a price for sin so that we could repent and change. Notice a passage in Philippians 2. We have a few passages to go through today. So if you have a Bible, it would be great to get it out, and we can look at these passages together. Philippians 2, notice starting in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So Christ, of course, was the Word. He was the one that was used to create all mankind. And he came and he humbled himself. He humbled himself, even to death, so that he could, as we'll see, be a sacrifice. Notice Romans 5. Romans 5, starting in verse 6, It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, and you can sign up for that, it says this: God delegated the actual creation of man to the Word. You can read about that in John 1 and verse 3. The Word was the maker of all mankind, yet it was necessary that he become a human. And when Jesus was born, his life as our maker was greater than the sum total of all human lives. In no other way could the Creator God have redeemed a vast humanity condemned to the penalty of death. And since God the Father has the power of life and death, he resurrected Christ from death to immortal life, thus making a resurrection to immortal, spirit-composed life also possible for mankind. And we just read that in Romans 5 and verse 10, that we shall be saved by his life. We're reconciled to God by the death of Christ, but then we're saved by his life. Christ had to be resurrected. He has to come in the flesh of those that he is working with today and that God has called through the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, that's why Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, that which was in Christ Jesus." How is that possible? Well, that's only possible with God's Holy Spirit working with a human's mind and working and flowing through a human that God has called. And of course, God the Father has to do the calling. God made it possible for mankind to repent. And our part is that we have to repent and change. You know, God has made it possible for a mortal man to become immortal, to become spirit. And so sometimes in this human life, we don't like change so much because, you know, maybe we're getting older and we don't like that particular change. Or it's hard to change sometimes. But the ability to change is essential. We have to change to become like God is because God's perfect. And man has sinned. Everybody. And so we need to repent and to change. The ability to change is an awesome, awesome ability that we need to be thankful for and then utilize it and really make changes when we need to. Notice this passage in Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See, when we repent, we are choosing life. We're making a choice to choose life. We're making a choice to eat from the right tree, the tree of life. Adam and Eve, of course, made the wrong decision there. So that's what Peter said to the people that were listening to his message there on the first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given after Christ was crucified and then resurrected. And, you know, they said, "What should we do?" He said, "Well, you have to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, because we need the remission of sins." And then those that God is calling and do repent, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have to be choosing life and using the power of God's Spirit. Notice Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Look at what this says here in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. This is God talking to ancient Israel. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live." And so God was saying this to ancient Israel. They were under the old covenant at that time, and they were making that covenant agreement where God promised to bless them physically if they agreed to follow his laws and his statutes according to the letter. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They weren't being offered salvation, but they were being offered material blessings for obedience. And so he was saying, "Look, I'm recording this day against you. There's life, there's death, there's blessing, there's cursing. You choose." Now, that same thing applies to us today, but for those that are called and have God's Spirit, now it's eternal life and eternal death that we choose. You know, we're choosing which direction to go. And it has very serious and eternal consequences. We have to choose between life and death, even if, you know, we don't think we're making that exact decision. We do make that decision every day in the decisions that we, you know, come across. Do we choose to go God's way of give, or do we live Satan's way of get? Those are life and death choices. Now, when we make the wrong choice, we can repent and move forward. Thankfully, God's made that possible because of Christ's sacrifice. Without that, again, everybody has sinned, so there wouldn't be any hope, but there is hope. And we don't always make the right choices, but more and more and more as we grow, we need to be making the right choices and choosing life. All people have to repent. That's just part of life. And it's a continual process. You know, it's not a one-time affair, because changing is a process. And so it requires repentance. We need to repent. And that can be a little bit of an obscure topic to some people. Well, they think, well, what do you mean repent? What does that mean exactly? Well, the correspondence course says this: repentance is turning from the way of Satan to the government of God. It is accepting God's rule over our lives through his law of love. It is accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and soon coming King, the second Adam, who did qualify, whereas the first Adam failed, to reestablish the government of God on the earth by overcoming Satan. Those who are to reign with Christ must also qualify during this mortal life by turning from and rejecting Satan's way, overcoming that way day by day, and actually living by God's law of love. Repentance isn't just saying we accept Christ as our Savior. We have to let Christ live in us by the power of God's Spirit and change. Make continual change to be more like God the Father is, to become perfect as God is, to take on the mind of Christ, let that be in us. That's a continual growth process. And you can see in Luke 3 and verse 8 that Christ said we must bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. We have to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And so there has to be more than just saying I'm sorry. There has to be change. And we probably have all experienced that in our own lives. And in dealing with, say, if we have children, you know, we tell them, don't do that anymore, and they say sorry. And that's good. But if they just go right back to whatever they were doing and they don't stop doing it or change, that sorry didn't mean a whole lot. And sometimes children can get it in their minds that they can just say sorry and that makes everything okay. Well, it's good to be sorry, but then there has to be change. And so we see that in the physical realm with dealing with our children and others and dealing with ourselves, of course. And that's the same here with this concept of repentance. That's what it is. It means changing, not just saying sorry or feeling bad about something, but making change. That's what repentance is, changing to be more like God. And there's just great, great blessings when people choose life, when they repent and obey God. Really wonderful blessings. And ultimately, the greatest gift of all, which is eternal life. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 49, it says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." So in other words, you know, we're human now, right? But there's this great potential for mankind. Verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption." Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery." And so this is something most people don't understand. It says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And that's talking about death. Some people die a physical death and in this life, and there will be some that are still alive when Christ returns, and they'll be changed. So, but that's what he's referring to there. Verse 52, he describes this. He says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is at Christ's return. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You talk about a victory that will be the sweetest victory. It will be this one, where death is swallowed up. There's no more death. For those who obey God, there's only eternal life ahead. And that is the excitement of it. And here even death is referred to as sleep in terms of a physical death waiting for to be resurrected. It's talked about as sleep. Because ultimately, those that choose life, those that are repenting and growing and changing to be more like God, death is swallowed up in victory. They have eternal life given to them at the return of Jesus Christ. But what happens to those who refuse to repent and obey God? See, eternal life is given to those who do change, but what about those who refuse to change? Well, the news isn't good. Notice this in Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verses 14 through 15. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and so this is eternal death. Verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So for those, hopefully very, very few, but for those who don't repent and change, they will be cast into the lake of fire. And it's so interesting, too, because often in this life, people tend to focus on ability, human ability and talent, and you know who's the best at this or the best at that, or who's really talented. And those are all wonderful things. I mean, if they're done, used the right way, God does give gifts and talents, and they're wonderful. But what is the focus here when we talk about eternal life or eternal death? It's about a willingness to change and repent. It's about an attitude that's willing to change. That's what God puts the focus on. That's the most important thing that we can do in this life is be humble and be teachable and be childlike and be willing to change and repent. You know, it doesn't say that, you know, those that are the most talented will be in the kingdom of God and those that aren't won't be. It talks about change, obeying God, and being able to change when we're wrong. The correspondence course says God wants every human being who has ever lived to have the opportunity to repent and live forever. But God will not force anyone to choose life. For those who refuse to follow God's way to eternal life, there will be the second death, the fate of all unrepentant sinners. They will cease to exist forever. They will be as if they had never been. God planned in advance, it says, that if man, composed of matter, sinned and refused to repent, he would die. He would be as though he had never been. God will not allow any incorrigible human being to live forever in mental anguish and torment like the fallen angels. This plan reflects the great mercy of God toward mortal man. You know, it's easy to think, well, eternal death, I mean, it's a horrible thing. And it is. God doesn't want that for anybody. But if someone won't change and they just are going to plow ahead in constant sin and misery that comes from sin, well, it'd be better if they just weren't even alive because they're just causing suffering for themselves and others. And so that's merciful. Even that's merciful. But, of course, God wants every human being to have the opportunity to repent and live forever. That's the ultimate goal for every person. The correspondence course says, when called by God and made to realize that he has sinned, man can repent, turn from his sin to God's way. And again, remember here, God has to do the calling. God the Father does the calling. He has to do the calling. You can see that in John 6 and verse 44, very famous passage. God has to do the calling. So once a person is called and they realize that they have sinned, they can repent. They can turn from sin and obey God. It says, and once his course is changed with God's help, he can pursue a life of obedience to God. He can grow in spiritual knowledge and develop the character of God, overcome wrong habits, weaknesses and faults. So that's the goal that God has for each of us, to grow in spiritual knowledge, develop the character of God, overcome wrong habits, weaknesses, and faults. And that means changing. And then once we've reached a certain level of growth and development, we can be born into the very family of God, using this physical life to develop God's character. We can then be born into the family of God. It's wonderful that mankind can change, that we have this ability to change, that we're material today, and that when we make a mistake, we can learn from it, we can repent, and then stop making that mistake. If it was so ingrained in us and we were already spirit composition, what could we do? We'd be set, and we wouldn't be able to make those changes that we need to make. So it's wonderful that we can change. It's wonderful. It doesn't always feel wonderful to be mortal. We do have our aches and pains and other problems that come up from time to time. But it's wonderful that God made us mortal so that we can change, we can grow, we can develop more of his character, and ultimately born as a very God being, an eternal God being, into the kingdom and family of God. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. If you'd like to learn more about what we talked about today, please get the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's free at thetrumpet.com. Also, Mystery of the Ages and The Incredible Human Potential, two very important books. You can find those also for free at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.